welcome to the Unseen Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Morse, holistic business coach, spiritual mentor, modern mystic, and artist. In this podcast, we explore all things mysticism, creativity, spirituality, and entrepreneurship, bridging the spiritual and the practical. So excited to have you here, and I'll see you in the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unseen Magic Podcast. I have a very special guest who is near and dear to me, Jamie Starr of Jamie Starr Healing. She is a trauma-informed healer, therapist, behavioral analysis, birth doula, psychic medium and channel, and modern witch from Teaneck, New Jersey. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi.
I'm happy so excited. Yes, I'm so excited to have you here. I wanted to mention too, I was talking about this earlier on my live, which was like embracing the multi-passionate nature of manifesting generators, which you are one of.
Oh,
so I'm so glad we are on this podcast together today to explore all of these different things with you. And and mostly around energetics and spirituality and healing. And I would love to jump in and just ask you, because you have a really interesting story around your journey of how you got into spirituality, the healing and wellness space, and like where it's taken you and where you're at now.
Yeah, well, like my superhero origin story started with our mutual shared grandma, my spiritual grandma, your biological and spiritual grandma, Madeline. And my mother is a spiritual healer as well. She does natural bioenergetics. And she was really upset. She had had a fiance that had died suddenly after 10 years. And she was looking for kind of answers that weren't being answered through therapy, through nutrition. Like she just was, you know, looking to be tethered to something higher than herself, a religion or a spirituality. She was having panic attacks, and she found Grandma Madeline Drukowski, who was a renowned health kinesiologist, bio natural energetic healer. And from there, she just zoomed. She went and met with her, and then she trained with her. And she met my mom, met my dad, and she couldn't get pregnant. And she really wanted a baby. So she went back to Madeline, was like, hey, heal me. And then she had two kids in under 2 years. Can't say my mom's not an overachiever. We were 20 months apart, right before she turned 40. So I was really brought into this world physically through spirituality. And then, you know, I really struggled in traditional school settings and traditional social settings that were very structured. I wasn't understanding, like, why can't I fit in? Why can't I fit in? Why does it always feel like a fight? Like I have to find an alternative. And around 15, I think I started to scare like the adults in my life. Like they were like, she's everywhere. Cause I have a lot of energy. I'm a manifesting generator. Like I was in sports. I was on varsity in like my freshman year, just because I was good. Cause I was like, I was there energetically. I was there. I was in arts. I was sketching. I was sewing and I was going to school and I was dancing. Like I was just doing a lot. And then for some reason, we belonged to a health food store basically that had a yoga studio in the back that trained yoga teachers. And they offered to train me at like 16. So I started my yoga teacher training. And from there, you know, I kind of got into more of a mindfulness approach because I was always aware that there was spirituality and that there was sources of divine loving things outside of my physical body. But yoga, I'm not like a big yogi anymore, but I really do appreciate that it brought me into mindfulness. Like this is your body. This is what you're feeling now. Mm-hmm. And also it sounds like so small, but it made me aware of my body to the point where if something were to happen, I wasn't accepting that I was nervous or I was angry or I had emotion, but I could feel like, oh, that made my stomach clench. oh, that made my heart feel like this. Oh, I'm starting to sweat. Like, yoga allowed me to do that. And then, you know, from there, I found Theta Healing, which is about belief work, and Reiki Healing, which is about body healing and spiritual healing. Angel Healing came after that. Mediumship got thrown in around Reiki accidentally, and oof.
Yeah.
Bald in the best way.
Tell me about that, because that was part of, I think, a lot of people's journeys, including mine, is stepping into the realm of energy healing. And then all of a sudden your psychic channels get turned on and your mediumship gets turned on and you're like, weren't expecting it or signing up for it. Right. So I would love to hear your story around that.
Yeah. So I was raised not religious, but highly spiritual and constructed. So I was around religious people a lot. The organization that we were a part of had a lot of rules. We saw each other a lot, at least once a week, but majority of the time it was once a week for service, once a week for a class, and once a week for some sort of community event, which was great in building a community, but it was really restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
But it also exposed me to people that were highly spiritual are also really drawn to body energy work. So one of the teachers from this very religious organization was teaching Theta Healing. And she was like, look, you'll be the youngest one there. Not something new for me. but come and I'll teach you level one. And look, if you don't like it, you don't have to pay me the full price. You'll just pay me half and you don't have to come back for anything else. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a deal to me. And I went and it clicked. I got it. And I could access, and I thought it was crazy because for Theta, you sit across from someone, you're holding their hands when you're learning, and you're accessing their belief system. And I was doing that. And I was like, well, and I was with an older man too. And it was, I don't have the monogamy gene. And he was bisexual and he didn't know what his partner, he knew that he was going to have one life partner, but he didn't know what kind of life partner he wanted. And I was like, you already know the life partner that you want. It's literally like your best friend and he's been in your life forever. So what are you doing? Like, let's address these beliefs. And I had never met him before. So I think he was a little freaked out. I was this very confident 18-year-old. I think I was 18. Yeah. I was like, okay, I know that you're 55, but listen to me because I'm in charge right now, because I'm listening to your higher self. I'm listening to your beliefs. And I started speaking really confidently. And I'm like, who is this? Like, I was outside of my body almost. Like, who's doing this? Who's directing this ship? But for mediumship, after I did Theta, I had worked on a couple people for Theta. And I actually got freaked out. I was working with someone who had taken the Theta class with me, had a daughter who was highly ASD, autism spectrum disorder, and she decided to stop speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Something had happened that had triggered her nervous system that she very rarely spoke. Like, she would, yes, she would do one word answers like yes and no, and that was really it. And she was almost catatonic, which, as any mother would be, was very scary for her. She brought her to me because we took the class together and she saw that I took to it very well. And she's like, hey, can you work on my kid? Happy to. And we did a 4-hour session and she barely spoke. She said yes and no. And I was like, and I think I overdid it for myself because it was such a big change from not doing it at all to within a week after finishing it, doing like almost a 3-4 hour session with someone and really like delving into the beliefs that were making her this way, like feel like she was so scared that she couldn't speak. And I think I got a little burnt out. And then someone told me about it all. Someone told me something and I was free that weekend. So I was like, sure, why not? This is how it all goes. There was never one that I researched diligently and I signed up for intentionally. Like, no, my path has always kind of been like, it's happening now. Here's your spiritual change. Here's your class. Here's how you're going to implement it. Not too much prep. And I found someone who was doing Reiki, or they found me actually, through my mom. My mom and her had met and she said, hey, I'm going to do my first Reiki training. Do you know anybody that would want to do it? And my mom was like, I think my kid does. And she like tossed me at her. So I did Reiki. And as I was doing my Reiki level one class training, like I took the class during the morning and then we were practicing on each other, I thought I was having a panic attack. I was closing my eyes and I was envisioning this red, big blooming flower. And I felt like my lungs were filling up with water or something heavy and liquid. And that's why I thought I was having a panic attack. I was like, oh, I can't breathe. I physically can't breathe. And I remember saying that. And the person that I was working for started to hysterically cry, which was not great because I had met her that morning. We weren't friends or anything like that. It turned out her father had died a couple of years ago. So she was the caretaker of her mother who had died maybe a week before. Her father used to buy her mother these specific red flowers every weekend. And her mother had died from, I don't remember the medical name, but basically you are drowning from the inside with your lungs. Like water is filling your lungs or fluid is filling your lungs. You can't breathe anymore. It's something that happens to people who have COPD sometimes. I don't remember exactly what it was medically, but anyway. And that's when I was like, oh my gosh. So this is somebody who, well, I was really insensitive at the time. I was like, so this is somebody who's dead. But in my head, I'm like, so I don't want to do this. And she was really pressuring me because people who have loved ones that they've loved so dearly, getting messages for them is so special. And, you know, at the time I didn't know this. I just was like, oh my God, back up. She was like, what is she saying? What is she saying? So I just started speaking. Like, and I think I called her like Noodle, something weird that was like her cutesy nickname that her mom had for her. And all the messages that her mom had about like, you know, take care of yourself as good as you took care of me. You'll be fine. I'm not worried about you. I love you. Make sure to clean out my coupon drawer because they're all expired. Like, it went from really spiritual and nice to like practical. It was very fun. And it's so special to look back on now. And that was my first foray into mediumship and Reiki. It was the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the same day. And that's kind of the things that happen. And then I avoided mediumship and that lasted for about a month. It didn't let me avoid it for too long. I met somebody else.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, let's talk about that. Because this is something that I hear from people a lot is they get really worried about like, I don't know if I want to open up my psychic abilities because once I do, I'm afraid that I won't be able to turn them off. And then I'll be like in this other realm all the time and I'll be overwhelmed and overloaded. And like, tell me what your answer would be to that.
No, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. I'd be saying, no, that's not how it works. So I, again, was exposed to yoga first, and the particular yoga place that I went to has basically a monastery where yogis go and you live in a very yogic way, disconnected from everybody else. And I remember thinking, that's insane. Like, you know, at the time I was using the words God. I was like, God didn't make us be humans and live among humans just to go and avoid them. You know, we have power and autonomy is very big for me. So I'm a Sagittarius. I love my freedom. Can't take away my freedom without me like freaking out. So when the mediumship came to me almost as a surprise, for a month, I was really like kind of weary of it. And unfortunately I went down one of those Google holes, like, you know, I tell you, be careful. And I was just like, this isn't right. Like, it just feels so loving and so kind. I don't know what to do about this. So I did an invocation that was, you know, the only spirits that ever communicate with me through this way, through such a high and loving way, need to only be there for good purposes. And I command it in my body. And, you know, it's, ever since that, it's been good because I view the ego in two ways. I'm annoyed at my ego sometimes, like you're annoyed with like a dog that's misbehaving, like, oh God. And I love my ego sometimes because it gives me power as a human. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So I can tell anything I want, like, back up, not right now. I don't want this. Come in a different way. And the only time they don't listen is if it's a message that you really need, in which case, easiest fix of all, ask them, okay, what's the message? And then it goes away. Mm-hmm. Once you get the message, it's a surrender. It's a power balance. Mm-hmm. Like, divine and creation, it is so powerful, but you are made of divine and creation energy. So you're also powerful. You're meeting me. Mm-hmm. So think about it like a partnership. Like when you're together and you're working together and you're two powerful forces, you're just creating and it's going fast and it's going great and it's divinely aligned. Woo! And when you're not in agreement and you're of equal footing and you're loving towards one another, then you figure out a different way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come to a different agreement. And then if something is so, so important that you can't, then the other party has to listen. Like, okay, well, why is this important? What do I need to know? How can we move on from here? It's like any other relationship.
Mm. Yeah, I love that analogy. And it brings up the question, which a lot of people have, is like, well, how do I trust what I'm hearing, right? Like, to build that relationship. So relationships, good relationships are built on trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for us as like these very hyper, we're, you know, most of us are in like a secular society and a very hyper logical thinking patterns and frameworks and belief systems. So when you go out to set on this path of like trusting those messages, how do you know where they're coming from? How do you know that you're not just making them up? How do you know that maybe you're just in a weird mood that day? And like, that's, you know, that's the message that you're getting from your, you know, the bias of your mood. So yeah, like the, your own ego bias versus the actual higher self and the divine source connection.
So I don't remember originally how I started to do it, because now that like I'm, you know, a therapist working as a therapist, like I know that it's called like dissociation, and like you assign voices or colors or feelings to the certain voices and where they, the origins of where they come from. Ooh, no, scratch that. I remember now. Okay. So if the message that you are getting is coming out of the basis of fear, and the way that you can tell that is it's negative, it's avoidant, it's defensive, it's self-deprecating, it's somehow hateful in some sort of way or just unkind, that is not from source.
Yeah.
So kind of, it's all about slowing the roll. So my thoughts move fast. I got ADD, I have dyslexia. It moves really fast up there. It does. It's like going. So when a message comes down and it's like, I'm not good enough, I should be doing something else, they're not good enough, I gotta go away, I have to run away, I have to change, like, nope. I find out where it is physically in my body, and if I've got tingles, if I'm sweating, if I feel like antsy under my feet, like I gotta run, I gotta avoid, I know it's not source, I know it's not divine, I know it's not God.
Mm-hmm.
From a place of love. And love is sometimes a little tough, you know, to hear, especially if our default for so long has been, you know, got to be super practical, have to be super in the now, like have to conform, conform, conform. And then you're kind of breaking away from that. Love can feel really scary.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say you're not going to feel scared, because that's not it.
Yeah.
But when I was asking, when I was getting messages, not asking questions, I was getting messages initially, like, go back to school. Babe, I'm dyslexic. You think I wanted to go back to school? Like, no, I didn't. It was really scary. I was like, I don't want to do this. But the message behind it, I asked, I was like, okay, why do I want to go back? Like, what's going on? And, you know, source, God, divine energy very clearly said, in order for you to reach the amount of people that you need to have the clinical experience, psychological experience that you need for your path as a guide, you need to go back to school and you need to have those credentials because that's how people are going to initially trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one was a very clear message. That was kind of recently. Another time that I got a very clear message and I could tell was when I left school the first time. I had set up my dorm in Philly. I was going to Drexel. I was there for literally 36 hours because I woke up in the middle of the night with a very clear message from source that I couldn't identify as source. I just knew I have to follow it, which was, if you wanted to, you could do this. But if you want to help people, you need to go away now. You need to go home. You need to be with your mother who had just my biological grandmother had just died like a week before.
Mm.
So you need to go home. You need to do some healing work. You need to channel your Nana, my grandmother, and you need to help people because I was going for advertising versus now I'm like very different from that. Yeah. But I think the best advice I can give is when you hear a voice that kind of sounds like anxiety or sounds like it comes from a place of fear or hate or something like or judgment, judgment's a big one. That's not source. That's not God. That's not divine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great example. And I feel like that's interesting, especially with the one about school of like going back to school, which was like that I'm sure actually provoked that message came through, but it provoked anxiety in you once you got the message. Right.
Oh yeah.
So, but that's like the nuances of understanding these types of messages is not that like, oh, it's just going to be sunshine and rainbows and I'm going to feel blissed out when I get a source the message and it's going to be like easy peasy. But
no, so I'm not. That was not how it went.
But so it's not exactly the absence of fear, right? It's just the origin. So how did you know? Because of course you felt that fear. You were like, I'm an aneurotypical person. I have a difficult time with school. Like, I don't want to do this, but I'm getting this knowing and I'm getting this message. And what was the kind of like, turning point or like feeling that you had that you knew, no, this is actually correct for me. And this is out of love, this message, even though it's making me anxious right now.
So there was a very important gap that kind of allowed me to have these deeper knowledge, deeper teachings and get into my intuitive nature from when I left Philly to when I started school, traditional schooling again. And in that time, I had gone to massage school. That's when I learned Reiki. That's when I learned Theta. That's when I finished up my yoga training. If I had like gotten distracted. And so in that time, I was really working on myself and I was working on other people. And I just kept feeling incomplete. Like something, it was almost like you had the car's emergency brake on and so I kept pressing the gas. Like something was keeping me from lifting that emergency brake. And I was asking and asking and asking. And I kept getting, you have to go back to school. I'm like, no. That's not real. I'm just getting that because I want to make other people happy. I want to fit into a societal norm. I want to be seen as successful. But eventually it got to the point where it was just not shutting up. It was not shutting up. It just kept coming back. And I was, well, all right. And then I would give it an out. You know, I was bargaining. Like, okay, I'll apply to school, but if I don't get in to any of the schools, then I won't go because that's the sign that I need that I won't have to go. And then I got into everywhere and I was like, okay, well now if I don't get a scholarship, I won't go. And then the next week it came in like, hey, you have been chosen from our applicants for this. I was like, damn. Okay. So if you ask, you will receive. That is a true saying. So I was like, I'm not going unless you get me in. They got me in. You know, source got me in. It was part of the plan. I'm not going if you don't give me like a little bit of an incentive, like a scholarship or something. They gave me that. Okay, so we're going.
Yeah.
And it did it. Yeah. And so that kind of just kept happening. And I was better able to handle the triggers that were coming up for my self-image and my self-esteem through the traditional schooling process, but from the traditional schooling process, using the modalities that I had learned, like the Reiki mm-hmm. and the Theta, I was able to better, and the yoga too for mindfulness, I was able to better identify, like, okay, this is what's happening. This is the belief. This is where it stemmed from. Let's go in. Let's use Theta. Let's change that belief and go and go and go. And that's kind of the pattern that I use. I was like, get up, go to school, come home. I'm anxious. Why am I anxious? What triggered it? Was it this professor? Did I say something? Did I just, like, and that really was part of my development. But the reason that I knew that it was from source is because it was relentless and it was coming in so many different forms.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you push one message from source away, you can. You're a human. Again, you have that power. Don't worry. It'll come in a different way.
Mm.
It'll keep coming to you until it's in a way that you can receive it.
Mm.
So I think initially it came from my grandfather. Like, hey, kiddo, like, I know you don't have to go to school, but I'm really getting that maybe you should think about it. And then it would be, you know, I would get an advertisement on my phone about this college that I'd never heard of. Why? Cookies, why? And just other things. And eventually I was like, this is ridiculous. Fine, I'll do it. And I feel like that also for healing modalities, it's been a lot more loving and gracefully falling into place and a little random, which I kind of love. Because it just feels synchronized, you know. You wake up one day, you go to a coffee shop, someone says that they do this modality and they're hosting a training tomorrow and they have a spot open if you want to go. That for me, I like a lot more. But for traditional schooling, I'm never going to tell anybody you need to go to school to be successful. Like, that's just not who I am. But for me, it had enough triggers in it that I really got to know myself, got to like challenge myself. And I would not be the healer that I am today without the knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. So it seems like it was part of your personal development and spiritual development, as well as your journey and your mission, your greater mission in life to reach more people and, you know, have kind of be a bridge between the spiritual and the 3D, if you will, or the more logical, practical world, right? By having these certifications and degrees and you know, knowledge of psychotherapy. That I think that's so beautiful. And something that was coming up as you were speaking was this phrase, if it's meant for you, it won't pass you by.
Definitely not. No. It will. I tell that to my clients, and I tell that to, I work as a social worker in a East Orange school district counselor. So I'll tell that to my kids too. Like, if it's meant for you, it's going to be. If it's meant for you, it's going to be. So that's true about messages as well as life facts.
Yeah. I think that's really helpful for people because, you know, people worry like, do I, like, if I got like one slight message one time and then it like went away, like, am I just going to lose out on that? Is it gone forever? You know, that type of thing.
No, because that's from a place of fear and a place of lack, and that's not source, and that's not God, and that's not divine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your path is your path. Being aligned with it feels really easy. It feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if it's triggering.
Even if it's triggering. Oh my gosh. So side note, Jennifer is a lovely human being and we lived together for a while. And while we were living together, I had a loss in my family. I had so many messages. I had an intergenerational healing that was coming through my body. And it was all happening around the time that I was applying for a graduate program that was really difficult. So it was just like trigger, 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 loss, trigger, 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 loss. And I had to have so many big physical reactions and really delve deep. And then I had to be productive during the day. That was only allowed to happen between the hours of like 6 and 11 p.m. But I got through it, and now you can't shake me at my, and it was my first step into being a counselor, and I was overwhelmed because it wasn't like I had one kid and they were anxious and that was all I had to deal with. I had a caseload last year of 32 in, what was it? Seven different schools? I don't remember. But that was my first time ever counseling anybody in that way, in that setting. So I had to be on for school. Then I had to be on as a counselor. And then I got to come home and just release from the hours of 6 to 11. And I had to eat before that. But it was so hard and I just learned so much. But I never, when I would ask source, like, do I have to be doing something else? Can I please be doing something else? Like, no, girl, this is part of your process. Every hard thing that you're going to do, your clients are going to do too. And you're going to have to help them through it.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
So that was my motivation.
Yes. And just that, that's what you know, to step up, that's what it means to step up and be a leader, right? Like, even when things look difficult, challenging, dark, like, you know, like there were some periods, and I can speak to that myself, these like dark night of the soul periods where everything in your body and your nervous system, there's so many activations, triggers, healings going on that it's like, holy smokes, am I supposed to be doing this? Because, you know, it feels so intense. It feels so difficult. But there's always that knowing of like, this is for a greater cause. This is for a greater purpose. And there's messages that keep you on track of like, no, you're supposed to go to school. You're supposed to do this work. You're supposed to work with these kids, you know, in these schools and in these difficult situations. And I love just hearing you now say like, nothing can shake me now. Like, I am such a, like, I'm solid. And that is such a beautiful message for people to hear around like this, the things that are shaking you right now. Don't worry. Like, you will come out even more solid on the other side.
Yeah. And it's just very much, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a phrase that I love. It's getting tattooed somewhere on my physical body at some point. I really had to examine, like, why am I going through such hardship? What is happening? And why is it happening all at once like this? Because it wasn't like one level of anxiety. It was like so many levels.
Yeah.
And it was happening in that time because I was graduating and I had to go to this program and I had to go do more difficult things. And in order for me to almost level up, I needed a quick, hard and dirty leveling up. I know people are like, my spiritual awakening has been beautiful for the past 3 years. I'm like, 3 years? I had 4 months and it was awful, but now we're here.
I think a lot of people can resonate with that. Like, man, like sometimes when you start to wake up and you're in for a cleansing, a spiritual cleansing, and it can be uncomfortable.
Yeah, but truly, that time was such a blessing. First of all, you were living with me. I couldn't have asked for a better anchor when I really needed it, loving person when I really needed it. I was really trying to figure it out on my own. I was internalizing. I was like, no. I've been doing spiritual work for years. Let me heal myself. But because it was an upgrade energetically, I hadn't upgraded my methods yet. So it wasn't enough. I needed to outsource. And from there, I found TRE, which is trauma release exercises. I found other modalities that were just so powerful. I started going more into ceremony-based indigenous practices. And those have also been so powerful. And that wouldn't have happened if my old reliables were working.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people I've referred to the methods that I had to find for myself during that time. Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it needed to happen. So in reflection, I always find comedy in pain. Like, I've had some trauma happen to me and I can't not laugh about it. I'm like, well, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be here. And if that didn't, like, and then it's a little funny because, like, who else is this happening to? And I was never really alone. Like, yes, each individual journey is unique and to the one person that it's meant for. But we're humans. Isolation is not natural.
Yeah.
So having a healer, you, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, like, it's interesting to bring that up because the time, like, I had been through a very dark night before I had moved in with you. Mm-hmm. And all of those things, I was then able to hold space for you to do, right? And then because I had the knowledge and I had the awareness of exactly the sensations that were going on, the healings that were going on in your body, how, you know, what was happening, and modalities, tools, frameworks, cognitions to understand that. And then, like, to see the ripple effect from you sending that onto your clients and kids and all of these things, right? Like, it's a greater plan. Like you were saying, we're not in isolation. There's a greater plan than all of us individually. Mm-hmm. So accepting, like, your role, almost like accepting, like, okay, I have to go through this because I'm going to fit into this puzzle piece of humanity and my community in this way that I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but I know it's going to be important. And I think you're a good example of that, of how that ripple effect can play out.
Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, from that really harsh couple of months, I learned so much about myself. So I have a big licensing exam coming on and I'm avoiding it and I'm having anxiety about it. I'm like, okay, does this mean we're getting another upgrade? Can we pause this for like a month? Can I get my papers and everything else in order? And then we'll come back. We'll swing around. I asked that today, Jen, by the way. And Source was like, no, no, you can walk and breathe at the same time. You'll be fine.
Amazing. Amazing. Oh, I love this. So tell me a little bit. I love to kind of wrap things up with these questions that I have, or my show and set of questions. And one of them is about something, whatever comes to mind for you first, but something synchronistic or magical that happened in your life that was really pivotal, right? Like, what was that thing that was like, it happened, it was like, whoa, and it kind of changed the direction of where you thought you were going?
Ooh, it's happened so many times because I really do. I feel impulsive occasionally because it's like, oh, this is coming at me. Great. I'm going to go do here. But I think the one that most stands out for me is re-meeting you.
Mm.
It was a very interesting time in my life. It was that break when I had left Philadelphia. Right. I was finding myself. I was doing various modalities. Grandma Madeline was older, so being in an older physical body came with some physical challenges.
Yeah.
And I went to her just to get some clarity and tune up, make sure I was eating everything good and everything else. And I hadn't seen her in almost 5-6 years, and she had physically declined very, very fast in my mind because I hadn't seen her for that time.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that she was physically struggling, I just kind of like was looking at her like, what can I do to help her? What can I do to help her? And she said to me, she's like, do you want to come in a couple of days a week and work with me? Like your mom used to work with me and like Jen works with me. I'm like, Jen, who's she? She's like my granddaughter. And then I met you. And then from there, it was like, wow, I had never met anybody under the age of like 60 who was really looking at spirituality with their life in such a serious way. Like, other than myself, I was like, there's more of me. Oh my gosh. Because that just wasn't who I was surrounding myself with socially or people of my own age. and I met you, and you know, we've got this confirmed by healers, but I really other healers, but I knew this was it. I was like, this is my twin. And I feel like every time I grow, you grow. And every time you grow, I grow. We just kind of like are spiritual running buddies.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's not my term. It is somebody else's. And I want to give them credit, but I forgot. Gabrielle Bernstein.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And it's very true. So that was a synchronized and pivotal moment because I had already learned Reiki. And I had already like, so I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if I was starting a business. I knew I needed to be there physically for Grandma Madeline because without her, I would not physically have existed. Like my mother needed her. I needed her. And now she needed me. What a blessing that the universe could have given me. Mm-hmm. No greater blessing than to help someone who helped you be alive, you know? And then I met you. And then from there, we would like bounce off each other. And I was like, yeah, yeah. I never leave a conversation with you without feeling like I can tackle this.
Mm.
I can do this. You know, this is real.
Mm. I love that. I love, yeah, so- love, love that. and it's interesting because it's like the spiritual connection that we have is unfolded in so many beautiful ways. Just like you were saying, the spiritual running buddies and learning about, you know, that's the other thing of like knowing that you're not alone and finding like teammates, so to speak, right? Like teammates in this life that you're like, you're there with and you're moving, you know, like forward on your goals and you understand each other. It's like super important. And I think if you're on this spiritual journey and on this path of awakening and, you know, finding your calling and going towards your highest expression of self, you need those people. Like you need to find those people, and you need to also not be afraid to let other people go. Like other people that are not aligned for you anymore. Like that's okay.
Yeah. I agree with that one. I really do. But I'm a biracial child. I code switch like nobody's business. So when I'm with you, I can be all the parts of myself in a very genuine way. But, you know, family is very important to me. So my family is not really aligned 100% with what I do, with what we do. But I don't let them go. Like I try to keep that connection. But I meet them where they are. And I consciously use source for that. Like, hey, yo, keep this connection alive. Mm-hmm. And have me meet them where they are. Have me give them compassion. And I think like, just to go back to like the synchronicity of us and like in life and what it's given me is it's self-love. I don't think I've ever loved myself more than after I met you, you know, because I think of you or I know of you from a soul level. You're this amazing human being, this beam of light, this healer, this just divine being that I want to be around all the time. And I was like, and you tell me all the time, I love you, I love you, I love you. I was like, crap, if she loves me and I trust her, why am I not loving myself? And that really flipped the switch.
Ooh.
Deep, hard work on loving myself. And now like I'm pretty self-compassionate, which is huge for mental health. If anybody like is in mental health, like traditional fields, if we look up who's, if you're rating really high on a self-compassion scale, then you're pretty low on anxiety, depression, and other major mental health concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
That was big.
Yes. Oh, that's so beautiful. Okay, next question. Next question is, what is your favorite unseen force to work with? Like favorite ascended master or modality or anything?
Ooh, it's like picking your favorite song out of a playlist of 1,000. I really like the Divine Mother, Mother Mary. She's a gem. Archangel Michael, he's great for clearing energies and protecting. Who else? Master Jesus, if I'm teaching, I've started teaching, and that is something I wasn't really familiar, or I thought I wasn't familiar with doing. Apparently, according to my childhood friends, I've been lecturing for a while. but Master Jesus, Archangel Raphael is a great one. Mother Earth, Gaia, connecting to where I'm at. Who else? There's so many. But yeah, also just ascended masters and people's passed over loved ones. I really enjoy, but I love not messing with, but working with the angels and ascended masters and people that have passed over. Earth energy is cool. Yeah, that's really it.
Amazing. Yeah. I know there's like a huge roster, so I'm glad to hear just some of the big players, the top guns come out.
Yeah. I was like, who do I use for me? Because when a person comes in, I ask, like, okay, what high vibrational beings would like to come in and work with me? I always say work with me. I'm like, use me as a conduit and then go away.
Yeah, exactly. And if anyone wants to know a clearing technique, it was this one, right? I want you to reach out to Jamie on Instagram and ask her, because she will give it to you. It's a really amazing technique. If anyone else here is a healer or mystic and you work with, or a therapist and you work with people and you need to clear your energy field after you're done, hit her up. She'll tell you.
Well, and you need it. If you're working with anybody but yourself, you need it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Super important. Energetic hygiene, people. Energetic hygiene.
It's like cleaning your face every day. You gotta do it.
Just gotta do it. Keep that glow. Okay, and then last question. A piece of practical and a piece of spiritual advice for our listeners.
Okay, well, that's a trick question, because spiritual advice is practical advice.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. A little sassy. just remembering that you are a divine being. You are a divine creation. The same energy that created the planets and outer space and the Grand Canyon and the other wonders of the world created you for something, for a reason, for joy, for love. You are the physical manifestation of a plan. Okay. And your one goal, if you have one goal in your whole life that the creator made you for, it's to be happy. It's to be joyful. It's to raise the vibration of the universe, because joy and happiness are the highest vibrational energy you could be. And every time you raise your energy, the world's energy gets raised. So you're doing a service, not to just to yourself, which is important, but to the world. So my practical advice is, never forget that you're a divine being of love and the creator makes no mistakes. Grand Canyon, you, not a mistake.
Love that. Thank you so much, Jamie. Thank you for your time and your wisdom, and thank you for being here. And I would like you to let our guests know, like, anything you're working on right now, or the ways that people can connect with you, what type of clients you're looking to take on right now, all of that good stuff, and where to find you.
Well, you can find me on my website, which is jamiestarhealing.com, or my Instagram, which is the same handle, not the .com. the clients that I have now are, interestingly enough, asking more for teachings and helping them with their own spiritual development and kind of catering, you know, what I've learned the past 26 years into whatever it is that they're looking to use in their own life as being healers for themselves or their families. And for the clients that I'm looking for, I am not a come all kind of gal. I really set the intention of, if you're spiritually feeling like you are so connected to source, or you believe in spirituality, but you just need a little guidance, you need a little support, you need a little help, I work off the empowerment model. You come to me, I will help you. I will help heal you. But then I will also help you heal yourself so that you can keep going, so that you have longevity with your journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So anybody who wants that, I'm here. I do distance. I do in person. I'm in northern New Jersey. If anybody didn't know where Teaneck was, I'm in northern New Jersey. I'm about 15 minutes outside of New York City.
Amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jamie. We'll put all your information in the show notes. And again, it's always a pleasure, always, always a pleasure to be with you, to share energy, to create space. And thank you again.
Well, I love you, love you, love you to the moon and back through all the planets. We're here. So happy to be here. Happy to speak. Sorry if I'm too wordy, but you already knew that was going to happen.